This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heatbeat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and I just want to give you a little bit of warning. So the first kind of minute of the show is a little weird. You might hear me sound very excited to hear music play. It's because we were having massive technical difficulties on our stream, twitch.tv/miheatbeat. You can come by our post-game show after every playoff game. We're having a lot of fun. Check that out. As you can see, it's way better with video, so just please stop by sometime. We're having a lot of fun. But the reason why I'm telling you this is so that you have a little bit of context as to why I'm like, yes, yes, before the show. We had stream waiting quite a bit in our waiting screen. We eventually got it working. There's a bit of an echo for the first minute. That gets fixed when I get the Zoom audio working. And then we're fine for the rest of the way. But it's just kind of a heads up as to why I have this weird reaction at the beginning of the show and why there's a bit of an echo. But don't worry, it goes away. We fix it, and it's a normal Miami Heatbeat podcast you all know and love. Remember to subscribe on iTunes. Check out our YouTube page, Miami Heatbeat. Go to our Twitch, twitch.tv/MIAHeatbeat, and our Instagram at MIAHeatbeat. And enjoy the show.
We made it. We made it. We made it. Oh my God!
I'm so happy right now. I mean, not about the game, but the fact that we get the stream working. I'm sweating. Oh my God! Y'all are patient. I appreciate it. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heatbeat post-game show. Thank you for the wait on stream. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. Not with me today. It's producer and co-founder Brian Goins. He's getting married. Brian's getting married. He's getting married to his lovely wife, and I'm not there because COVID scares me. And you know, we live with at-risk people, so we're here providing you the content that you need. I appreciate y'all for being as patient as you have. We had a big audio issue. You don't even know. I forgot even to hit record on Zoom. I just did that right now. It's been a rough day. Heat lose to the Celtics. We as a show and production are discombobulated, as much as the Heat defense have often been. I haven't even introduced who's here today. I'm out of sync. With me today, it's our trash tweeter, Jack Alfonso. You can see him on the bottom right.
Hello.
He waves. On the left of me, you have our anime lover and photoshopper, Brass Jazz.
What's up, everybody?
That face you see on the bottom left is a familiar voice that may be a familiar face to your life. Friend of the show, Jeremy Taché.
What's up, everyone?
Jeremy, what do I say you're from? Because you're from Swings and Mishes, but I don't think this is a baseball audience. Or I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
probably
not. Where do you want to be from? You do a million things.
Gosh. I do a few things. You just say I'm from Swings and Mishes. That's fine. It's most of what I tweet about. That and UCF, but that doesn't count as a profession. I just had to get that in here real quick within the first minute.
Chat, do you still hear an echo? Chat, let me know. I think the show might just go on, but you guys, chat, you let me know. You let me know what's good. You let me know. Oh, look at that. We're a disaster today. Even the boxes in Zoom are messed up. Oof, we are having a day. We are like the Celtics. I mean, we are like the Heat. So the Heat play their worst game of the postseason, maybe their worst game since the seeding games, like since early in the seeding games. I don't want to just credit what the Celtics did, because while I do think that they had some plans to attack the zone, particularly like they were putting Jason Tatum in the corner every time that he went zone, and that just makes it easy to trap him. And then it kind of gives Kemba Walker just like kind of to operate in that middle space or whatever. So having Gordon Hayward on the floor gives them a guy. They were putting Marcus Smart in the middle of that zone, was passing out of that really nicely. They also put Gordon Hayward there, or they put him in the corner, and they were able to put Jason Tatum in the middle to kind of go to the basket and stuff like that. So there were some things tactically, but I think, guys, Brass, this came down to dog shit effort in the first half, particularly. Zero sense of urgency. It was like that game when Giannis didn't play. Like, they just completely looked flat to start.
It was one of my least favorite games I've watched, and as far as I can really remember. But I just think people need to chill out a little bit, because we were horrid tonight, absolutely horrid on both ends, and we still got it down to like five with a few minutes, with like 5 minutes ago or something like that. I mean, it was really, or no, I guess it was less than that, but it was really way closer than it should have been. I mean, I know Boston had, what, a 20-point lead? I think that was their max.
Yeah. But I called it a fake comeback. I was texting some friends. I was like, fake comeback incoming, because, like, we know that they're not going to roll over. Like, this team just doesn't – this team is not the Clippers. We said that last show. Like, this Heat team is not that Clipper team. This team is not a team that's just going to straight give up. I think there was some lack of urgency. I do think that – I mean, Jimmy Butler hasn't been in a conference finals before. Like, this is – and Bam came ready to play, by the way. That dude had like 26 and 15, was all like shooting 80% from the field or something. It was pretty crazy. People are saying that there's echo or there's not echo. Let us know, guys. So I try to fix this on the fly, but there was some lack of experience, I thought, on their end. I'm not too concerned going forward. I mean, for the Heat to lose this series, they've lost two games since August 18th, right? So it's basically been a month. They've lost two games in the whole month. They'd have to lose three more games out of four to lose. I just don't see that happening.
Speak that into existence.
But it's just, I don't think it's happening. Like, let's be realistic on
why are you doing this?
But I'm just
why
saying,
are
like,
you talking like this?
I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to talk people off the ledge. The team's good. I'm saying this is not.
Stay on the ledge. This is bad.
Should I talk everyone on the ledge? I want people to feel better.
No, you're right. You're right. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Well, no, this game is, by all intents and purposes, it's an absolute fluke in terms of shooting, right? And that's why this team struggled so much. Is Jay Crowder the player what he's been this entire stretch? No, but he's going to be a lot closer to that player the rest of the series than he was tonight. He was 2 of 10, and every single shot was from three. Dragic looked gassed. Jimmy Butler was pretty horrible tonight. And when you have that type of effort from those three guys, you're not going to win basketball games, and that's going to happen. But now, weirdly, where everybody on Twitter was sort of saying, oh, you know, having a move to Wednesday only hurts the Heat. It helps the Celtics in all series. Weirdly, if you're the Heat, you actually feel pretty good about having until Wednesday.
100%.
Yeah, I agree with all three of you. I don't think we all need to be on the ledge. You know, we're still up 2-1. We all said this was going to be a long series. Nobody thought this was going to be a sweep.
Dave Dufour did.
A five-game series.
Dave Dufour thought it was a sweep.
To play devil's advocate a little bit, there are a lot of trends that have been consistent. And in this game, things caught up with them. Jimmy was really bad this game. And it's kind of consistent with how he's been in a lot of the beginnings of games. And it just seemed like he waited too long to turn it on. Mm-hmm. Like that the Celtics just got a bigger lead. So the margin of error was thinner because you have Gordon Hayward instead of Semi Ojeleye out there. Bam was great. Hero was fine. But like you said, Crowder rest a little bit on shooting. You hope and you think he's going to be better in the future. But like these are the kinds of things that just, I don't know, they kind of come back to bite you in the butt. Like the slow starts, you can't do that every time. You can't come back from double digits against a well-coached, very talented Brad Stevens team, like three games in a row. They're not going to let you do that. I mean, last game, it's not just that they came back from that like huge half deficit. They also came back in the fourth quarter. So like right. The Celtics got embarrassed like twice in that game. They were going to come out hard. I thought they adjusted really well. I thought putting Marcus Smart on Gordon Dragic was like an incredible adjustment. Gordon Dragon. He clearly has been having too much coffee. He was like a minus 29 or a minus 27, minus 29 in this game. Yeah. He was really bad. Jimmy was really bad, and that's inexcusable. I think Jeremy's right that you think the rest of Jimmy is going to be huge for him. He just did not look like he had his legs under him. And Bam, that's the positive. He's been incredibly consistent. He tried to will the team back into this game in this third quarter. He's a problem for the Celtics. He's the best player in this series. You can argue whether he's individually better than Tatum. I think most people would still say Tatum is the better player overall, but in this series, at least, Bam has been the best player. And that's what you hang your hat on going forward.
And you weren't kidding. Gordon really was a minus 29.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really bad.
Yeah, it was bad. And I don't even think, like, I think that was more a product of the lineups that were out there. I don't really think he was not giving them. I think the lineups are kind of designed for he to be the, like, hub of scoring. So when he's not the hub of scoring, right, like, the lineups don't function as a result. So it just makes
out of the night, though.
Huh?
Stat of the night, though, Kendrick Nunn, plus four.
Oh.
He
was horrible.
It wasn't his fault. You can say that definitively. It was not his fault.
No.
That fucking foul. Yeah.
That foul made me, oh my God.
That foul made me tweet, I hope he never gets another minute again.
Is that where that came from? Yeah.
Yeah, that was the moment. I mean, I've been running the Heat beat account, and I'm just like, I'm done with him. I'm just done with
that. His minutes along with Olynyk tonight were some of the worst. I mean, we've watched a lot of playoff basketball as Heat fans. I don't know that I've ever seen two players simultaneously play as poorly in one game as role players as the two of them did tonight.
Do you not remember the 2014 finals?
Oh, well.
That's a different thing.
It's a whole other animal. It's a whole other thing.
Michael Beasley got minutes that final. That was Spo.
I mean, those two guys, but those two guys were just provided absolutely nothing tonight. And with that being said, you know that means Olynyk goes 5 of 6 from in the next game. Like, the way that he plays is,
see,
you would think just
ultimate for the win says Spo needs to give Myers minutes despite our small ball rotations. Kelly is helping out the Celtics more than the Heat. At least that's what Canner's out there. Whatever. Somebody said something similar on Twitter about Nunn and Kelly, right? And I think we forget about Myers and what Kemba Walker and the Celtics would do to a drop defense. Yeah. I think it's just, guys, you don't want, I understand the need of, like, you see some shit and it's broken and you want to fix it. The need's not to go to what doesn't work. You know what I mean? So for the Heat, right, you like what you're doing. You like the game plan, right? You're playing really hard on the strong side of the ball. You're making the passes to the corners tough, but you're giving it to them if they're available. You are switching as much as you can. The only thing that you're not switching is Goran onto bigs. The rest of the things you're switching, right? And you've done a good job of staying in front of guys. You've relatively contained Kemba Walker, which has been the biggest, like, scary part of the series. Jalen went off today, and Jalen is a lot like Josh Richardson in the sense of Jalen's not going to break down your defense, but Jalen will do a number on a bet defense, right? So if you guys have Kemba, Jason Tatum, all these guys kind of distorting the defense, what Jalen Brown got today was a lot of line drives to the basket. He's just going vertically, right? He's not, you know, he's not slithering by guys. He's not Kemba Walkering this stuff. So the idea of Spo needs to reach into the bench right after we saw something work for two games, I don't see it happening. And I've seen a lot of that on Twitter, and it's been a little annoying because they've been fine, right? Like, I even like that fourth quarter, they kind of went to what worked. And who would have known? Duncan Bam dribble handoffs. Good stuff. I wish we didn't have technical difficulties. I would have pulled up that play where Bam does that handoff to Duncan and the Celtics are so scared of him that he fakes a handoff and there's nobody between him and the basket because they sent two guys to Duncan off that handoff. So I really don't want people to get scared and be like it's doom and all the rest and the four games and it's going to be in their head. Those people were kicking and screaming in their locker room and they don't like each other.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help.
Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the most important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere right now at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Only valid through September 30th. Did someone say playoffs? NBA and NHL are playing for gold, and our partners Bet Online have you covered. Get in on all the action, including a new NBA bracket contest with plenty of chances to win. MLB season is pushing into fall, and there's no shortage of ways to bet with hundreds of odds, futures, and props. So take advantage of the return of sports. And remember, the casino never closes. Check it out all day, all night. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online sportbook experts.
Yeah, I think that with, we got to remember, like, when you look at this game, even though it was a total blowout, it was two runs, right, that really ended the game. It was the run at the end of the second quarter after the Heat had brought themselves back into it. And all of a sudden, they went to a lineup where Nunn was out there, Olynyk was out there, Derrick Jones was out there. I think it was Dragic and Hero was the rest of that. Hero with the hot hand. And it completely fell apart. And so all of a sudden, where you would finally cut it to, I think, 8 or 9 points, the Celtics immediately went on a run. You're down 16 at the half. And then again at the end of the third, similarly, they went to a lineup of Olynyk, Nunn, Derrick Jones, Dragic, and I forget who the fifth player was, but again, went to a lineup where on a night where Dragic was not playing well, he had to go be the entire offense, and you didn't necessarily have your defensive stoppers out there. And tonight, I mean, yep, it was obvious. Whenever Bam wasn't in the game, they were going to struggle because Jimmy was not playing like himself. And so when you have a night where you have two runs with your backups in, where the Celtics really take advantage, you shoot like absolute dog shit from three, and Jimmy Butler plays maybe his worst game of the playoffs, you're not going to win the game. And yet, even then, there was a moment there at the end where all of us are taking a breath and going, okay, they're going to the line down eight. They're going to get the ball after the free throws. Like, there was still a shot, even if it is a quote unquote fake comeback. So to kind of lose your minds over this game feels like a major overreaction, in particular where they're still sort of like, we kind of forget that, again, where everybody felt like the strength of this team, bench, that was in large part because Jay Crowder and Goran Dragic were bench players. And these rotations were all different because Myers and Nunn were in that starting lineup. And now you've replaced Myers with Olynyk, who was useless tonight. Nunn comes off the bench. He's useless as well. And Iguodala is clearly not himself, whatever version of himself he was previously. And now that leaves you down to six players. So, like, and when those players underperform, you're not going to play well. So it's one game. You have a few days off here, and now you tweak some things. Obviously, on the defensive end, it felt like maybe they were in zone a bit too much during certain stretches. But
I agree.
Little tweaks here and there, not major overhauls of what you've done rotationally.
Also, not likely that this team is going to turn into the 2018 Houston Rockets again.
Right.
He missed, I think, 15 threes in a row or
yep,
something.
Some crazy number. 27 like threes in a row, right?
Yeah, well, that was
tonight. You, okay. Consequently, tonight.
Oh, you're talking about
no, tonight. I think at least 13. I remember seeing on the bottom line it was 13.
Okay, it feels like it.
They went 12 for 44, 27% from three tonight.
No, but I'm telling you, there was a stretch here. I was like,
no, yeah, I know.
Bro, it was just, it was.
Yeah. It's not Jay Olynyk. Duncan didn't even really have it. Hero had it in stretches, but even most of the game,
that first half, he had it.
It wasn't reliable. Yeah.
I need further investigation here. I haven't heard anyone mention this, but I'm just going to put this out there as a little bit of a conspiracy theory.
That's where we're at.
QAnon?
The Heat is QAnon.
Heat Twitter QAnon?
So the Heat were handling the ball tonight like shit, too. They were fumbling around. It was just – it horrible. Was really bizarre. Being Boston, I think we need to check and make sure the balls were deflated properly. Like, there's something weird. I'm just saying. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. People are talking, okay?
Jimmy low-key does that a lot.
Yeah.
Jimmy, like, low-key will not be the best kind of handler. Like, he'll feel – he did that in the Indiana series as well at times. It was like – yeah, it was a little strange.
All over the place. It was really unusual. But we were still really in it, man. You know, so it feels like – like this game, it's like, oh man, they didn't even, it just felt like they didn't really try. And the whole time they were awful. And it was just, fuck. You know, except for like, you know, you remember the hero run.
But I don't like saying they didn't try, though. I don't like saying that.
No.
No. But my point is clearly they did because they were down 20 points. I mean, they, unfortunately, when they go on those crazy runs, I mean, there was that moment where they close the gap in the second. And then all of a sudden you blink and they have three or four notes and it's like a 10-point swing in like seconds it felt. And they need to ensure that shit doesn't happen. I mean, there were springing leaks in it, but like it's still, the ship is okay. Like they'll patch that up. I'm really, I mean, listen, everyone's freaking out and it's because it's our first loss in so many.
It's the way they lost.
It's our first loss that mattered.
And also,
because the last loss was when the series was secured. So this is the only time a series for the Heat has ever been in doubt.
I mean, this is what Heat in Five looks like, people.
This is what Heat in Five looks like. Name of the pod. Well, that's what Heat in Five looks like. Brass has the guts. That's why Brass is here. Brass is here to have the guts. Okay? That's how this works. I think that there's a couple of adjustments that they could make. I think I agree with Jeremy. There could be a little less zone going on. They can do some more stuff. I think largely, I mean, Kemba had a 20-point, I think it was a 21-point game of 50% shooting. That's just what he's going to do to you. I think that there's not, I mean, like, defensively, Dragic is on an island and Hero's on an island. I thought Hero played a really good second half against him. But at the end of the day, that guy is one of the best scorers in the league at his position. I don't really think you can expect more than what they got. I think offensively, they could play a lot better. I think that, I mean, Jay Crowder shot awfully today. Maybe it's, I don't know, Brass. Maybe he's regressing. I don't know. I mean, Chris and I have always said he's a mediocre shooter. He was 2 for 10 today. Shot a lot, man. That's a lot of threes. Woof.
I'm trying to speak this shit into existence, and I'm asking you, please stop it.
I'm not. Christian and I have to do this all the time. It's not we're speaking into existence. We're staying consistent with what we've done since February.
I think I'm all about 2020 is the year of the reverse jinx. I think it's comeback.
I'm not saying anything.
Just, you got to straightforward, be cocky. Like, just don't say anything.
Can I say something? This is why I don't think, like, we've said Cocky Heat Fan is back a lot, and this is why I don't think Cocky Heat Fan is back, because Cocky Heat Fan was behind Dwayne, LeBron, and Bosch, and we wouldn't get this way after losses. We get mad, but I don't think we were apocalyptic. Brass, am I remembering this wrong?
The Jimmy performance is scary. The Jimmy performance is scary, and I also think it's uncharted territory a little bit. I think this is the first big Heat loss, the first Heat loss of any significance in this playoffs. And I also think for this series, the margin of error is razor thin. So I'm confident that things are not broken. I think the Heat can win the next couple of games. But I also think they need to play their ass off. And they can't really kind of relax the days of the club. They have to stop getting these deficits. They have to stop taking holes themselves. Because Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kemba – those guys are not going to let you continually come back. Clearly, they have been.
They got.
But I mean, the Heat have to play their ass off in the next.
I gotta ask you something, Jeremy. They got 26 from Brown. They got 25 from Jalen, 14 and 8, so almost a triple double. They get 20 from Smart, and they get 21 from Tice, 21 from Walker.
Right.
That's about as good as they can play.
Well, and that's the thing that I think, again, when we're talking about talking everybody down off the ledge, Boston played just about as well as they can play in terms of efficiency offensively. Not perfect for what their ceiling is as a team, because it's Hayward's first game back, but they played just about as well as you can play. The Heat played just about as poorly as they could play, and yet it still came down to those final 5 minutes at the end of the day. Even though the Heat were down, you know, 15 or whatever they were, it still came down to the final 5 minutes, even when both teams played to their furthest extreme. And when we all – I mean, Jack, I saw you tweeting about it. Everybody knew this was the game the Heat lose. Like, if we want to talk about cocky Heat fan, right, Heat and five – this is the game you lose. Like, this is what Heat in five looks like. Like, truly, this is what happens. The Boston has their blow up in the locker room. I could have told you what this podcast was going to be before the game started. Yeah. It was going to be us telling everyone to chill the fuck out because it's okay. And this is what that looks like. Now, on the same note, it's very funny because you bring up the Dwayne LeBron years, right? The last time the Heat were up 2-0 against Boston, it becomes 3-2 Boston, and you need the LeBron 45-15-5.
Forgot about that.
To be able to overcome everything.
I didn't need to remember Boston. That.
So that's what we're possibly dealing with here, right? But I think it's just when Heat are inevitably down 12 in the first quarter in game 4-2, everybody take a breath. Because this team gets down, and they come back, and they get down, and they come back. And today, they let themselves get too far down, but that was a combination of Boston played nearly perfectly offensively, and the Heat played as poorly as we've seen them play in the bubble.
And the officiating was absolute dog shit.
Horrible. It was so bad.
It was really bad.
It was so bad.
Really bad. We got here.
And somebody's going to say the free throws were the same or whatever, because I think the number ended up being – the Bam was assaulted.
That's free throw game at the
assaulted.
End.
Assaulted. Yeah. Assaulted. Bam was getting beat up all game.
Gordon had a bloody – Gordon might not have teeth today.
Well, you can say that.
And the Marcus Smart foul towards the end, we talked about this while we were troubleshooting. Ridiculous. Like, just a touch foul that you do not call at the end of the game, given the consistency of what they have not called against, like, Jimmy Butler. And also, I think, like, going forward – the thing that you can kind of rely on with Jimmy Butler more than anything is I would hope that he takes this as a lesson of, hey, I have to be way more aggressive at the beginning of games. I'm the best player on this team. He's not. He's the second best player on this team. But I am the leader of this team. I have to kind of force the issue a little more than I have.
Why
not
do you think
in a way that's like out of character? Because I think the passing, I think like the defense first mentality is his game. But I do think, like, getting to the foul line, just being a little more aggressive. It's not a huge switch, but it's just a tiny mentality switch where you're not overpassing when you have an open layup, which he does.
Why do you think that he didn't play, like, those last couple possessions? Do you think that was injury, or do you think he was just, like, done mentally? Like, it was kind of weird in a must-win, a must-score possession. He was just on the bench. And I don't think he was – I mean, especially in that
–
I especially love the idea that Spo benched him.
I love that idea.
But like
he was so like uncharacteristically like, lazy with the ball that I love the idea.
It was horrible.
Yeah, it was all very weird. It was all strange. Like his game tonight was not one of those games where you're like, oh man, he played horribly. It was like it was one of those games where you're watching, you're like, what's going on with that guy? Like something, whether it was mental, whether it was physical. He did not look like Jimmy Butler in terms of, just like you mentioned, ordinarily when he doesn't have a game where he's at his best. And I thought we were going to see it there for just a second. He goes in four or five possessions in a row. He tries to get to the line. And he did it once. And then all of a sudden, he kind of backed away again. And, man, he passed up a couple of really open looks in that second quarter where he just didn't look like himself. And so not that I love the idea that Spo benched him at the end, right? But like, you know what? That comeback was all happening without him. And it was, if anything, he was preventing it from happening more with his play. And really, the game was out of reach. And maybe he's a little banged up. And so Spo goes, you know what, Jimmy? Take a couple of plays off. And I like the idea that's sort of a sign of look, man, you got to be better in game four.
I do worry a little bit about Iguodala. This is the second game in a row in the second half.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's old. I think the rest will really help Iguodala. He's so old. He is like 50 years old, and he has played in every single finals in the past 10 years.
So
it's insane.
Anthony Chang, our friend, the puppet himself of the Miami Herald, Anthony Chang, tweets, on not playing Jimmy Butler near the end, Eric Spoelstra said there was no injury. Spo said, we were just trying to get something quick there at the end. Which I can understand. He's really a non-shooter, and he's going to be defended as such, and you kind of want the five-out space. But Jay Crowder wasn't really a shooter last today either. So,
yeah,
Duncan.
But that just goes to show that it's kind of mental thing.
Spo did bench him. This is essentially what happened here. Spo benched him. He's like, yeah, you're not a shooter. So, yeah. Brass, we were kind of talking about this in the chat. Yeah. Sorry, Brass. I see you sometimes talking, but I think the audio sometimes doesn't go through.
What a coincidence. What I was saying is, Duncan Robinson. You know, got a hot hand near the end of the game. Tyler Herro, he had that crazy run. You know, you never know what you're going to get out of him. I'm not – the whole Jimmy thing, I understand it. I mean, you're just trying to rise to the surface. Also, I don't think – they also weren't getting the calls. You know, and that's mm-hmm. Jimmy's big, big strength at the end of the games. I mean, you know, he was second to get the free throw line, you know, just after James Harden this year. I mean, you know, he – if they were getting the calls that they should have been getting, maybe it would have been different, but they weren't.
Bro, Marcus Smart had 10 fucking free throw attempts. Get out of here. Why do they reward him?
That's part of the foul game toward the end too. But like also, yeah, there were some ridiculous touch.
I mean, like Jimmy had 6, which is like a bad Jimmy game in the regular season. Bam had 9. The Heat shot 34. The Celtics shot 30, right? So the Heat got that edge. But I did. And you know, I think toward the end, the Heat were really going to Bam on the pick and roll a lot, and he was getting whacked down there, and he wasn't getting to the line. Yeah. Which again, it's kind of that strategy of, you know, the Raptors do this, by the way, and they've said it. You know, you can't call all the fouls, right? Yep. So that's kind of what the Celtics are doing. They're hitting the shit out of Bam. They're being really, really physical. And the thing I trust in Miami is that this is a tough team. This is a tough group of guys. And I think that if the Celtics are going to be physical, the Heat are going to be physical back next game. And I didn't think the Heat had that nasty in them. They did it. They just don't. And this is going to sound kind of funny to say, but I think that when their shot's not really going down and when they're really behind, what they start doing is they really try to force the threes, right? So they're really pounding those handoffs and they're really going away from their physical basketball. And it kind of takes a little bit of their edge away. And the Celtics were just completely out physicaling them other than Bam. Bam was great. I think that they can't keep letting Enes Kanter get away with his 5 minutes. I think that they're surviving. Daniel Theis has been in foul trouble every game this series.
Yeah.
According to Dave Dufour, Hall of Famer, Daniel Theis has really been a non-factor for the most part. I mean, that game one where he played, he was good. But other than that, I mean, the dude has not really had much of an impact. And I think that's partly because, you know, they're really attacking the drop coverage and they're kind of sending Bam down. And if you'll notice what they're doing a lot is Bam's not even making contact with the screens. They're just slipping him and going, right? So he's coming to set the screen for Dragic and he's not even making contact on the screen. He's kind of rolling to the rim. A little bit like Hassan, but it has a lot of intention to it. And they're kind of spreading the floor like that. And Kelly and Dragic were just not giving him good passes when he was going. I don't know if you've noticed, but like they were way over into the left where he had to kind of go back, get it, and then come into the post. It's not what you want. I mean, and he scored on most of those, but you're just making your best player work more than he has to.
Somebody in the chat was calling, Bam a short Hassan. They said it's Adebayo. not Adaba Nosotros. I thought it was pretty good. That's me in the chat. I'm sorry, guys.
Are you just saying you're
Miami Heat mind? I'm just kind of messing with the chat.
shout out to Miami community. Heat mind. One of the OG Heat podcaster. We don't forget you, Miami Heat mind. So we're a community. We remember those. We remember the fallen.
Yeah.
I like I said, I've said this before. This team is not the Clippers. I think they're a lot really tough. They're mentally strong, I think. And those are like a lot of sports cliches, but I think Jimmy's going to come out next game. Brian just sent me a text. He just goes, I'm so turnt right now, which is the whitest thing he's ever said. I'm sorry, that notification ribbon came. Brian Goins, our producer and co-founder, he's getting married right now. I'm not there because COVID scares me. And I just got the text, I'm so turnt right now.
Exactly what like Celtics Twitter sounds like right now.
Brian has a Gordon Hayward haircut.
That's perfect. Oh man,
he loves it. He does have a Gordon. Listen, that's he looked brutal. Great at the wedding. Brian has to get divorced, by the way. I'm not. It's a coincidence that they played their worst game when he got married. He needs to get a divorce until the playoffs are over.
He probably has time to file an annulment.
Did they get like officially married yet? Is there still time?
Like the ink isn't dry. I don't think.
They cancel this?
I noticed this across the board, though. I feel like so many people had traditions that they were going into games with that they did not follow. I saw, this is a little inside Twitter, but like Fitzius was like, I never tweet on game days, but I got to test the hypothesis.
No. Oh no, Fitzy, why'd you do that?
Come on.
I will say it's partially my fault too, because I like was not tweeting during games. Then I tweeted during the first half of game. I twatted during the first half of game two. And then I turned off my phone. And then they came back. But then I also turned off my phone for the third quarter and they didn't come back. So I was
I'll take blame. I trimmed everybody. Up my facial hair. Oh, it was a bad move. Everybody messed up, man.
We let go of the rope, guys.
We let go of the rope so hard.
It's on us. This game was on us. Yeah. And it is what it is. But
Mr. Duck 7 says I didn't wear my Heat jersey or beanie today. That's Mr. Duck. This is on you too. Blood's on all of our hands.
No, it's 100% on Mr. Duck. Mr. Duck.
Mr. Duck 7.
You have some answering to do.
Mr. Duck 7. This is your fault. You have to hold a press conference where Anthony Chang questions you. Anthony Chang.
It's no coincidence. Mr. Duck 7, the best player for the Celtics is Jaylen Brown, 7. The worst player for the Heat today was Goran Dragic.
7.
7. This is all on you, Mr. Duck. Come on, man.
Yeah, Mr.
Whatever
Duck 7,
you do it next
man.
Game.
What's I'm the R. Kelly meme.
Yeah.
Well, you also have the referees were Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham. They're trying to fill.
Oh my God!
Not only are they ruining,
boo,
Marcus Camby. Well, I have this thing with Kev, our Celtics Twitter correspondent, that we just text each other doom and gloom the whole game. We keep saying that the game's over, like in the first quarter, like the Celtics score the first basket. I'm like, it's done. Yeah. But I'm committed to this. I'm not changing what I've always done. I'm committed. I actually thought last
year
I changed the Heat Twitter, the PP banner on the Twitter account last game, and I was really worried that it was gonna cost us. Brian texts Heat in 5. That's all Brian just texted. Drunk Brian says Heat in 5. Brian is consistent from his wedding. He says, hold on, I'm reading the text.
I'm
reading Brian's text. He says, Heat in 5, fuck the Celtics, fuck Gordon Hayward. Yeah, there you go. Brian has the guts.
He's got wedding superpowers too, so.
He kind of ruined the wedding. Kind of ruined us by getting married, yeah. I'm not worried. I'm oddly okay with everything. I'm ready. I feel like the rest is going to benefit them. I think that this is not a team that I'm concerned about being shaken or scared, even though they don't have the championship pedigree. This is why Riley wants a team full of veterans. Jay Crowder's been to the finals. Andre Iguodala has been to the finals. Udonis Haslem is a 3-time fucking champion with this organization. Eric Spoelstra's been there. The young guys have nerves of steel. Gorin is a vet in this league who's been to the conference finals before. Almost beat a very good Kobe Bryant Laker team. They have guys on this team that are experienced. And look at that. One of the biggest games of the season, Duncan Robinson down the stretch was awesome. Right? So even the young guys.
On defense, too.
On defense.
Especially
really
on
competed.
Defense, yeah.
Really competed. So I know
that. What you say about white guys, that they competed on defense. Not that they were good on defense, but they tried.
I use that word for Tyler Hero all the time. I'm like, he competes. Yeah.
He competes his ass off.
But you got
another thing. On the chat and stuff earlier, and some people discussed it on Twitter, is there were sorry, this is another like heatist QAnon thing. There were a few too many pre-game interviews.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
What was that? Oh, the Duncan one.
Talk about
Rachel Nichols.
Was
they're getting in their head. I've been saying this for the first 3 games.
Like, yeah.
And she's like, oh, so you're a good shooter, huh? He's like, Yeah. I mean, like,
yeah, I'm a good shooter.
I mean, if it were like, of value, it's not. It was just fucking fun. Just to wear these guys out. They were hoping Duncan was going to shots with her so he would go cold fucking game.
Hey.
They did it with Hero in game. No, they did it with Hero in game two. And Jimmy Butler in game one. But they've
does the league
done
want
Heat
Lakers
players.
Celtics?
Only done it with the Heat.
I'm not
does the
league want
ESPN or TNT? It's messed up. Brass, I'm so glad
Mind
you said
games.
That. Yeah, this good. Is I'm messed glad, up. It's the Mr. Know. Duck stuff, and then it's this.
Yeah.
In that order.
I also want you guys to know, but also it might be Brian's fault. So guys, I'm not
no,
telling
Brian's...
you to do this now, but if the Heat do lose game four, I want you all tweeting hashtag Brian get divorced and tag Miami.
Yes, absolutely.
If they lose game four, not yet. No, there's no need to panic yet.
Not yet.
If they lose game four, hashtag Brian
there's a trend.
Get divorced.
There's a trend.
And make sure it gets trending here in Miami. And then, we got to make sure that that's happening. If
honestly, Jeremy, I mean, you and I have known Brian for a long time. Incredibly selfish of him to get married in the middle of a playoff run. Incredibly selfish.
I can't believe he would do this.
I mean, not
I'm shocked.
COVID aside, like, just take the COVID out of the situation. The fact that Brian got married in game three of the – did he not think the Heat would go this far?
How dare he?
Did he not think the Heat –
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Did he think the Heat would lose a month ago? No guts?
Yeah, he didn't have the faith.
And I know
I've been crazy superstitious all Heat series. Like, I have this exact thing, like, in the middle of the second quarter of every Heat game, I put on noise-canceling earbuds. I put on my AirPods, and I listen to Billy Joel's Pressure – twice through.
Why are we
it
psychos?
Always works.
Why are we psychos?
What? I'm like losing my mind.
I mean, I may or may not have told my girlfriend today that we're supposed to move in together, and I may or may not have told her we can't move in together until the Heat are eliminated from the playoffs.
That makes sense.
You know, whatever.
Listen, I'm casual. Jeremy, you're not selfish, unlike Brian. You care about
it. Like Brian.
You're a community guy.
She gets it.
And also, just for clarification, Gianni was Brian's best man.
Yes.
Because he's committed.
I'm committed. I'm here to work. I'm here to work.
I'm pretty sure Brian is happy he didn't have to fit Gianni in the rotation tonight.
Oh, sure. For sure. For sure. For sure.
Did him fair.
Listen, I'm of the culture. I told Brian, listen, maybe because I'm not going because of COVID, maybe because I need to watch the Heat, okay? We have a show to do. We have a production to put on for the people. I'm
How
also
– he betray you like this?
It's super. I'm also glad that we're like sharing these superstition things because I got to be honest with you. Today we're losing and I'm like, it's because I'm not sitting in the normal seat. And I'm admitting this. I'm not sitting in the normal seat. The dog was in the seat where I sit and I didn't want to move her. And I was wrong. I should have moved her.
Yeah, you should have.
And then by the time I moved, it was too late. And then.
Yeah.
Especially
around these parts. I live here with my family at the moment. And so I sit in a very specific chair for every single Heat game, different chair for UCF football game. Obviously. Mm-hmm. It's not the same chair. Come on.
You can't sum up. That's ridiculous.
We're dead serious, by the way. Chat listeners.
So serious.
We're so serious right now.
I want you to know.
This is real.
I'm serious as a heart attack. So I sit in a specific chair. And so for the games where I've had to be at work during those games, we have, as a family, decided that it is important that we put a stuffed animal gorilla in that chair just so that the universe gets tricked into thinking that I'm sitting in the chair. You know, you just have to mess with it. And thus far, undefeated when that has been the case. So after they lost that first game. Now, tonight, I went ahead and trimmed up this beard like an idiot this morning, like a fool. And did that this morning. Just messed with the basketball gods like that. And now that he loses. So I'm going to continue to grow this back out. Guys, it'll be okay. By game four on Wednesday, it'll all be back. And everything will be fine.
You know,
don't have to worry anymore.
The worst part about today, it's not even the Heat losing. Because I'm not worried about them losing the series. It's Heat in five always. This is how Heat in five looks like. It's all the people that pick the Celtics that feel a little vindication today. It's the Dave Dufours.
Yep. Yeah.
It's the Jay Kings. It's all of them. The Nikias Duncans.
Wrong.
It's the Nikias Duncans. It's all of them. They're wrong. But you know, they feel happy today. They feel better about themselves today. They're like, this is what I thought. I thought that every game was gonna be this, except for the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm.
I will say, like, on a basketball note, I think Spo is an incredible coach who's gonna adjust. But that lineup with Hayward instead of Ogilvy, then Grant Williams, I really like Grant Williams.
He's fat.
I think when
they can't
five
lose to a
like
fat
that,
guy. They can't
no,
lose
come on.
Guy.
He's like a good. He's like a good like.
Grant Williams.
I really like him.
No, I don't.
He can hit the shot. He can hit a three every once in a while. I think he's a smart player.
My mom thinks he's annoying. Like him going forward,
and I think that lineup is good. He's annoying, but in a smart way.
He's just new evolution of Big Baby Davis.
Oh my God! You're right.
Yeah.
Wow.
The 2020 version.
The 2020 Big Baby Davis.
Yeah, that's essentially what his role is.
I have a Brian.
And it's equally infuriating.
I have a Brian update. Brian says, give Spo these days. He will make Gordon Hayward look like Dante DiVincenzo. Miami hasn't lost two playoff games in a row. I love Brian. Man, Brian has so much more guts
than
me, dude. Shout
out Married Brian.
Married Brian has more guts than all of us. Brian's like, fuck Gordon Hayward. He's going to be Dante DiVincenzo. It's going to be White Dante.
Okay, but still, if they do,
I have a question.
Game four.
Brass, you're at your house.
Brian get divorced.
Correct? Why are you in a dress shirt?
Okay.
Well, he doesn't have his jersey on anymore. He's getting hot.
It was I had a Rosh Hashanah dinner with.
Lovely!
Happy
holidays.
Thanks for dressing up nice for New Year, G.
You just, I don't know. You grew up Catholic. I don't know.
I'm not religious.
Just put him on the spot like that.
Yeah, I was like, I don't. You know. So I live in Kendall, and I, you know, growing up, I didn't have a lot of Jewish friends because there's not a big Jewish population in Kendall. But when I got to FIU, a lot of my friends were Jewish, and I was like, oh, I didn't know that South Florida had I think the third biggest Jewish population in the world after New York and Israel. Yep. And I started learning about Jewish holidays and stuff because honestly, my only exposure to that was Rugrats.
The Rugrats episodes were great.
I watch straight up. Every single Passover, watch the Rugrats Passover special. That is a terrific
representation. Terrific matters, art. You know. That's how they got into a Catholic home. I learned about Jewish holidays through Rugrats. I don't remember the dates.
I am stunned.
I also learned about Ramadan through the Proud Family.
Oh my!
Learned God. About holidays.
I forgot about that.
Look at that.
I learned about George Washington Carver through the Proud Family.
Shout out the Proud
Miami
Family.
Miami has zero wins in 57-81. So they really need to get their shit together.
We have reached the Proud Family and Rugrats portion of the podcast. Brian just texted me. I'm so fucking drunk.
Well, Brian needs to stop texting, period. Put the phone away. Enjoy the wedding.
Yeah, Brian, you have a wife to go dance with.
Yeah, you might have to get divorced in a couple of days. So
yes, enjoy it while it lasts. You let him know if they lose game four, he's getting divorced.
Brian's taking some accountability. He said he didn't wear his Heat shirt / jersey today. I broke the mojo.
God damn!
It would have been so funny if we got wedding pictures over the suit.
Brian's jersey over the suit.
Everybody let go of the rope. This is insane. Mm-hmm.
I feel like Mr. Duck, it starts with you, then it goes to Brian, it's on us.
First and then Jimmy Butler.
Way down the list, though. It's not his fault. It's not his fault that we all let go of the rope this way.
And then Ed Malloy.
It's mostly Mr. Duck.
Who were the refs today?
It wasn't Ed Malloy. It was, I don't remember his name. I was saying it earlier.
Couldn't tell you.
But whoever it is, you're an enemy.
Officially,
I won't forget.
Yeah, I don't see on the recap on NBA.com, they don't have it. Okay, well,
one of the referees,
Brian's drunk. We talked Rugrats, adjustments, zone defense. We had awful audio issues. We had the whole experience today on the Heat Beat stream. Listen, in a loss, we bring you content. We were garbage, as were the Heat. Brian says, toast on the pod. Matt Brian's just like texting rapid fire right now. He should be enjoying his wedding. I appreciate everybody for coming again. We had a lot of views tonight, even though it was a loss. I appreciate you guys being patient, even though I figured it out. We had audio issues, but we produced on the fly. We did it. Special thanks to Jeremy. Jeremy, plug your stuff. Where can people find all your things?
Oh, man. Thank you. You can follow me at Jeremy Tache on Twitter. That's T-A-C-H-E. The most pretentious way you could possibly spell Tache.
Tache.
You can follow me there. I Swings and Mishes is our podcast on the Marlins. Hey, look, not for whatever, but like they're coming down to the playoffs here too. They might make the playoffs for the first time in 17 years. If you want to follow along, if you're interested at all, I'm telling you, I don't think there's anybody covering that team better than we are with Swings and Mishes, Craig Mish and myself. We're having a really good time. And it's the Marlins are a fun baseball team, weirdly enough. I also work at Channel 7, WSVN. If you watch our Sunday night show, I produce a lot of that. And then I also, ironically, you brought up the Rugrats. I have a Nickelodeon podcast.
I did that on purpose. I did that on purpose. I was throwing you the lob.
Look at you. Throwing me the – perfect. Nickelode again, as opposed to Nickelodeon. Nickelode again. You can find us there. It's me and Gabrielle Starr. She's a terrific sports media personality. So, yeah, that's all the stuff I do. And thank you guys for having me on here. I always love coming on and talking about getting Brian divorced.
You talked victorious. Can I plug my stuff? You talked victorious. No, you can't. You talked victorious without me, and I'm offended.
We talked victorious for an hour and a half because
oh man,
TV intense. Show.
Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah. It's up. It's with Drake and Josh is my favorite Nickelodeon shows. That's how
good it's a great. It's a great Nickelodeon show.
It's the most underrated show on that network.
Brass has checked out.
Brass is not even anime. It's not even anime.
The look on his face when I just said Victorious is an underrated show, I've never seen an eye roll so genuine.
It's not better than Zoe 101.
No, yes, it's way better than Zoe 101.
No, come on, Zoe 101.
Oh, get out of here with this. Oh, my
God. He took off the headphones.
I'm more disappointed in you right now than I am in Mr. Duck.
Okay.